Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll have a bit of a closer look at what Paul does write in Galatians. We heard it sung to us just then, but let's have a bit closer at what he says here. And he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, etc., in the context of freedom. Now, one of the things when we're growing up, and if you can think back to when you were a teenager, you have to think forward to a teenager, but that's all right. When you were a teenager, and as you get older as a teenager, you have this desire for what you would term freedom. You don't want to have your parents telling you what to do all the time, do you? You want to make your own decisions. Remember that freedom, at least I felt, and I think many of you felt, when you learned to drive. The learning part, not so much. But when you actually get your license and you can take the car and go wherever you want. That was good, wasn't it? Still pretty good, being able to, you know, just hop in a car and go somewhere, provided you've got enough money to pay for the petrol. But freedom to make your own choices. That's something we're longing for. It's part of, I think, that's what makes us human. We want to make our own decisions. We want to do things that we want to do. However, one of the things you do find as you're growing up is that freedom is not always what it's cracked up to be. As I said, you have the freedom to drive, but you also have fuel to pay. Once you start to get to own things, cars have insurance, maintenance. These things mount up, don't they? I mean, when you move out of your parents' place and you have your own place, you then have rent or a mortgage, you have bills, you have food. And sometimes it can almost appear that what we have called freedom is just slavery to a whole set of other things. Maybe it was better to be a slave to your parents. Who knows? But Paul is making us think about what freedom is all about. In particular, what is this freedom that Christ has achieved for us? We are told that we are set free in Christ. What does that mean? And we see in verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That may seem a bit, you know, defining itself in the sentence, but he goes on further. The rest of the chapter is all about that. So he says in verse 13, we have do's and do nots. Do not use freedom to indulge in sin. Sin's bad for you. He lists the whole pile of the bad stuff. It is not freedom to go and do the stuff that separates you from your heavenly Father. It's not good to use your freedom to hurt one another. That makes sense, doesn't it? You're not free to mess up your life. That's not what Christ has died on the cross for, is it? Use your freedom to what? Love one another. Freedom is doing what you have been designed to do. And in Christ, we have been designed to love one another as he first loved us. We are following in his footsteps. You are not to do whatever you want. So Christian freedom isn't you do whatever you want. It's having the ability to do whatever God wants you to do, isn't it? That is freedom. That's one of the reasons you see throughout Scripture, for example, when Jerusalem falls and the survivors are being taken to Babylon, God tells the people, to pray for Babylon, pray for your captors. Why? So that basically, if a country's doing reasonably well, it's normally reasonably peaceful, and therefore you will have the freedom to worship, to be God's people in that foreign place. You can see the sense in that, can't you? So when we're told to pray for our government, you may not like whoever's elected, but you're praying for them. You're praying for the nation to do well. You're praying for freedoms for us to be able to love one another, to be able to be Christians without persecution from government. And that may seem trivial, but a lot of our brothers and sisters throughout the world don't have that freedom, do they? But it's important, though, to also realize that through Christ, we do have freedom regardless of the society that we're in. Think of Paul in Philippi. He and Silas were unjustly arrested and thrown into prison. And we see that they were joyfully singing psalms and hymns. They had been beaten, they were medicaled, most likely half naked, in a dim, dark prison. You can't think of a much worse state. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, they were free, weren't they? Yes, when the earthquake came, they were then set physically free, but they were attuned to the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are free regardless. However, those external things still do matter. Hence, that's why Scripture talks about us praying that we don't have to go through those tough external times. But it's not about doing whatever you want, because we still wrestle with our sinful selves, don't we? We don't always know what is best for us. Many times parents will say that to younger people. Sometimes parents will be right, sometimes they won't be. Who knows? But our Heavenly Father, He really does know us, doesn't He? The Spirit who resides within us really does know us. And He is leading us on what is the best for us, what is going to make you and me the best versions of you and me. If led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's in verse 18. Your freedom from the law, your freedom from the guilt, from the condemnation, from the judgment, is tied to being led by the Spirit. As in, you're following Jesus. You are listening to where the Spirit leads. If you stop that, then you are in trouble. What Paul is mentioning here, we see it in John's first letter as well. It makes no sense for us as followers of Jesus to be following the world. If you're a child of the light, what are you doing being in the darkness? If you have been freed from sin, why are you chasing these sins? Because the danger is you're moving out of the path of the Spirit, and therefore you're moving out of God's loving arms. He's still there. God is still for you. Don't get me wrong. In the depth of our sin, in the depth of our rebellion that we as Christians can have against our Heavenly Father, our God is still for us. It is not He who is pushing us away, but at times we do turn. We stop listening to the Spirit. We stop walking in that path. But to be in all those promises, you know, being justified, having peace with God, no condemnation, all those wonderful promises are tied with following Jesus, being led by the Spirit. Same thing. So, we can summarize. Freedom is not doing whatever you want. It's not always to your benefit, I should say. It's not there. So being able to jump out of a plane without a parachute because you don't want to be restricted by a parachute, technically, yes, you could be free to do that. It's a freedom that tends to end rather dramatically once you are stopped by the ground. As they always say, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop at the end. Freedom, some of those things that we want removed are often things that we actually need. And so Paul looks at what it means to be in step with the Spirit, to be following the Spirit. To follow the Spirit is to follow Jesus, because we see, especially in John's Gospel, that the whole role of the Spirit is to keep reminding us of Jesus's words, to keep us in tune with Jesus. They're not alternate paths. It's the same one path. That following the Spirit, having the Spirit in you, produces fruit. And they are, he lists these nine things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that we should be cultivating, we should be seeing within our lives if we are following the Spirit. These are the best way to put it. These are the attributes, the characteristics that someone who is following the Spirit has. And I may look at this and say, well, nine of them is a bit rough. I do try to be kind to people I meet, so there's one of them. Self-control, that's a bit of a tough one. Patience. As a parent, I can remember with our boy, especially Luke, we actually had a set of songs based on these from, I don't know how many of you remember, the Music Machine. It was a Christian musical from back in the 80s, and so our kids were born in the 90s, but we grew up with these things, so we had them. And one of the songs was, have patience, don't be in such a hurry, etc. And Luke really hated that song, because whenever he was anxious for things, he wanted, being the younger brother, he wanted to do things his older brother was doing. That's kids. And so we would say, no, you're not ready for that. Have some patience. And so, yes. Patience can be a tough one even for us as adults, can't we? We want things now. We'd probably have a lot less debt if we had more patience. We'd probably have a lot less problems if we had more patience. And we could go through all of these, and I'm not going to preach for hours, but could go through all of these and see they're obviously all good things to have, aren't they? We're agreed on that, aren't we? They're all good things to have. But as we examine ourselves, we have problems with a number of those. One of the things to remember here, here's a little dip of your toe in the Greek. The word fruit there is singular. Fruit in English can be both singular and plural, can't it? It's like sheep, one sheep, two sheep. But we also have fruits. So it tends to mean if you have a whole pile of apples, you have fruit. If you have apples and oranges, you can say you have fruits, two different types of fruit. They can still say fruit. English is wonderful like that. You can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So are most languages. But the reason I point out that it's singular is that Greek has two very specific words for fruit: singular fruit, plural fruit. When it says the fruit is, you may have noticed in your English translations, it does say is, not are. The fruit is, meaning if the Holy Spirit is at work, this is what he produces. Not one of these, it's not a go to the supermarket and pick which fruit you would like to have. I'll have, a bit of patience, some love and joy. I'll leave the self-control till next week. It's not a pick and choose. When the Holy Spirit is at work at you, He will produce these sort of things. And if you look at your life and you are not seeing these sort of fruits being produced, there, I use the plural again, this sort of fruit, singular, being produced, then you realize that there is problems. And this should lead you back to the cross. Come back to the foot of the cross. Confess your sins. Hand over to God what the issues are. I'm having trouble with anger. Here, Lord, take my anger. I'm having trouble with self-control. I know that I really shouldn't be having six cups of coffee a day. Help me cut back to two. Bring practical problems to the, yeah, I know, I know. Self-control for one person is different to self-control for another. So don't go to 12 cups, back to six. So and that's true as well. We're looking at what the Spirit is doing within you. Bring this to the Lord. You don't pick and choose your fruits. These nine attributes are what God is developing in you through His Spirit. But we put things in the way. We keep listening to our old person and not listening to the Spirit. And hence we've got to keep coming back to the cross, keep handing over our problems. And it may seem, as some of us very much realize, that you've been a Christian for decades and decades. And still, you have a look at the list of those nine things and say, I'm not doing too good here. Keep coming back to the cross. Keep handing it over. He is developing those things in you. You may not always realize, but that fruit is being developed within you. Often others see your fruit better than you do. So, we are told that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is how Paul finishes in the passage we looked at this morning. It continues on, but the passage we read finished at verse 25. It's that encouragement to don't give up. Keep doing the things that keep you in step with the Spirit. How do we hear the words that the Spirit is saying to us? Well, through God's Word, through our Bibles. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be hearing God's Word preached. We need to be sitting down with one another and discussing God's words and wrestling over it. We need to be communicating with God. We need to be speaking to Him. We need to be listening to Him. We need to be fellowshipping with fellow Christians. We need to keep ourselves in the realm of the Spirit so that we can keep in step with the Spirit. One of the things we say when an infant or a small child is baptized, that it is important for the parents and the godparents and the congregation, if involved, to raise that child in the environment so that their faith can grow. Our faith is a living thing. If we don't water it, if we don't look after it, if we just ignore it, it will wither. Those of you who are farmers frequently tell me how important the rain is to you, how important water and the machinery and the fertilizer and anything else you guys need. It's not a matter of you just throw some seed out there and get a great crop. There's I'm assuming you guys all do something else. Yes, of course you do. Livestock has to be looked after. There is work involved. There is work involved in our faith, but we don't do it alone. We do it with the Holy Spirit. When we start doing it by ourselves, if it's, I'm going to fix the problem I have with kindness, or I'm going to get my anger under control, or, you know, whatever situation, if we are determined to fix it by ourselves, we are going to fail. We have to keep coming back to the cross, keep following Jesus, keep handing over our problems, talking with our Lord God. We have the freedom through what Jesus has done to come before our Heavenly Father at any time, in any place, and talk with Him. How often do we forget that basic freedom that we have? That wonderful opportunity that we can talk with Him, that He's there. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, not in our own power, but through all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. The peace of God, which has the peace of God. Yeah. We live by the Spirit. Let us keep step with the Spirit. Amen. As we